Friends, we have been studying in the Word of God about God's plan and design, His blueprint for His church's health and the church's spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul, in that passage that we read together, speaks of the fact that Timothy knew of the manner of his life. He says in verse 10, you already know the manner of my life. You know the way I live my life. And he says, in these things, then follow this my manner, the way I live. See me as an example. He says, my life, as far as I follow Jesus Christ, is a blueprint for you to follow as well. We have looked thus far in this series of studies to the teaching on worship, that the church of Jesus Christ, assemblies of the saints, must be a worshiping people, must be a praying people, must be a holy people, must be a serving people. And now, the subject for this evening is about a learning and teachable people. That's what we ought to be. Now, what's the state of our life this evening? In the past week, have you felt that you have been very weak and dry and cold, and you are making all sorts of mistakes, or you have no discernment, it seems? Do you feel to be like a person who has been ill and weak? No appetite for food. When a person doesn't have appetite for food, it means that there's something wrong there. You have to question, why don't they feel the hunger? Why don't they feel the thirst? There must be something wrong in that situation. Or imagine a person who says, I'm going to do certain things. There are people who would believe in in going on certain amount of fasts for health reasons. And they say, I'll only eat at a certain time. And it never lasts, because they would often feel weak. Imagine just eating food just once a week. Or say, on one day you will eat twice, two meals. Or what you would do is that you would wait until it comes to Wednesday, and then you just have one session, one meal, and then twice on Sunday you are going to have meals. Imagine living like that. Well, you would be very weak if you live like that. You would certainly be losing your strength if you live like that. But there are many people who live like that, spiritually speaking. And then they wonder why they're always stumbling and why they feel so weak in themselves. There are also ministers who all that they do is that they're preparing messages. They become sermon factories. And what they do, they become dry and they run out of steam, as it were, run out of thoughts about the Word of God. And what I found that is that they would easily move to various places. Within 3 years, they've gone from that place. And within 10 years, it is an amazing thing sometimes in the United States, especially, that someone is told, or you read in the back of a book, that such and such a person has written it, and they have had a vast experience in ministry. And then they say they have ministered in 10 different churches. All you have to do is to calculate, well, they've only been in pastoral ministry for about 20 years or 30 years. In how many churches have they been? Why didn't they stay? And some would say, well, someone even has said, well, how can you stay in one place for more than 5 years? You'd run out of ideas. What else can you tell people? Well, if a person is only spending their study time just preparing for meetings and services, yes, of course they will run out dry. If there is a Friday club teacher, if your Bible study and Bible reading is just about the subject that you're going to deal with, of course, that's not healthy at all. Or Sunday school teacher, or any other Christian worker. If you are only doing your studies of the Word of God and feeding your own soul Just to prepare something for someone else, you are just like a mother who only feeds so that, or only does something because she has to do it for her children or for her husband. It's not healthy. It's not right. And no wonder you would be weak. And so we are all, in a sense, in the same boat. And here the apostle says this, that a church of Jesus Christ must be feeding, must be taught. There must be a spirit of learning, that the church of Jesus Christ is like a school, always learning. That is part of being a disciple is, we are learners. That's what the word means, a learner, a student, who is always learning and following the teacher. And pastors and teachers are called by God to open up the word of God and to, in an expository manner, in opening up each word and explaining it and applying it. And there must be careful application of the scriptures to the congregation. Week in, week out, that's how we are edified and built up. This is a charge that God gives us in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. In verse 2, the apostle charges Timothy and charges every preacher of God's word, preach the word, be in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What is he to do? He has great task before him to care for the flock. He has to do many, many things. He has to wear many, many hats, as it were. He has a great job before him. Great calling. But one of the things that he must do patiently is to be immersed in doctrine. What is that word? That simply means teaching. He should be teaching. Teaching what? Teaching the word of God. Teaching the truths of the word of God. Bringing it to God's people. But then that in it, if you reverse that, what is God's charge to the congregation? What is God's charge to all of God's people who are hearing the word of God? You must be teachable. You must be, there is no word for this, but doctrinable. You should receive the doctrines. You should be as those who have come with a plate and the pastor puts the food. The ministers put the food. The preachers put the food on your plate. Says, this is your portion for today. It's been cut. It's been designed. It has all the nutrients in it. You take it and you digest it. That's the teaching. Are we teachable? Are we learning? Now, the kind of learning is not the kind that the apostle says of those who are ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. We read that. In verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a wrong kind of learning. There's a wrong kind of learning that it never comes to the truth. Why is that? It's because it is not based on the word of God. It is because it is not focusing on the right things. You can learn all kinds of things. You can build your library of anything and everything. But what you need to do, what you should be doing is focusing on the right things and feeding your soul. It is about not feeding the mind, it's the feeding of the soul that is at stake here and what we are talking about. You could eat anything. Well, most things. You could go and eat all kinds of things and we call them junk food. You can eat as much as you want. It will fill your belly for a while and then you will become hungry again. You can eat more of that and more of that, and there are many resources out there. You could go to McDonald's and you could go to all the various other fast food places and it will fill your belly. You will enjoy it for a while, but then you know it is not feeding you properly. It's not providing you the thing that will help you to live healthy and give you the energy that you need. It's not a fuel at all. But there are many who would do that. And so the kind of learning that we are talking about is the kind that gives you wisdom, gives you discernment. There is lack of discernment in the church today. Why is that? Because people are feeding on junk food, spiritually speaking. They're not being warned about anything, so they just take any kind of teaching As long as the preacher attaches a verse here and a verse there, then they say, well, that's biblical. The person is quoting the Bible. There's very little discernment in our day and age. And so this is what we want to think about. This is why we must come under the sound of the Word of God that is being honestly preached and faithfully preached. If we were in a state of revival spiritually in our soul, we would do anything to be under such a teaching and preaching, and we would do anything to be spending time, cut out time, to be feeding our soul every day. Is that you? Job says in one place that he found the Word of God more necessary than his daily food. Can you say that? That I won't eat anything until I've fed from the Word of God. That's McShane. In his daily reading plan, he said that is what we ought to do. Begin with the Word of God, he says, before you have your breakfast. Now, the teaching and the preaching that is done, it must be with certain purpose. The Apostle Paul didn't write the same letter to every church. There was a purpose behind every letter that he wrote, and there was certain needs that needed to be met within that local congregation. So the elders of the church, as they come together at different times when we are praying and planning, we are also discussing what is the need for the church. How often we have talked about that. What are the needs? What are the passages? What are the themes that we ought to be considering that right now the congregation needs? And so the apostle wrote various letters with various teaching throughout it. Now, I wonder if we come every time with a plate, empty plate, asking, Lord, help me. Lord, feed me today. I need food for my soul. I don't want just information to be passed on to me. And that's why the apostle here, he says, the Word of God, when it comes to us in that kind of an attitude, in this atmosphere of teachable atmosphere and the atmosphere of students coming to the feet of Jesus Christ and calling upon God for feeding their soul, it becomes then profitable to them. It becomes profitable. You see, this same word was read by the many Jews. It was this passage especially is referring to the Old Testament passage, the latter part of this chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It's about the writings that the Pharisees had in their hands, but it was not profitable to them. Why was that? It's because it was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with the blessing of the Spirit. It was not mixed with true prayerful heart, a humble heart. But if you come to it with a teachable spirit, it will be profitable to you. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For what? For doctrine, for teaching. It's profitable. That word profitable, what does it mean? It means to be useful. It means to be beneficial. It's full of profit. God's will is that you and I be healthy. God's will is that this local assembly be healthy, spiritually healthy. That this, every one of us be profiting from taking in the Word of God, learning it. And as the teaching goes forth, as the doctrines are being taught, then we take it in and digest it and meditate upon it. That's why we try to provide you a plan, an outline. We try to give you a sheet to write on and to make notes, and hopefully then you would take it to your home, and through the week you would be going over it and pray over it. And that's why then we print out the catechism questions, so that you might face different kinds of doctrines and to go over those things, to look up the verses. All of these things are opportunities. What? Of feeding. Feeding on good things. Oh, my friends, there are times that you go on holiday and we attend certain churches. Sometimes we go to places we used to go, but then we go and things have changed. And what we are fed then, it's not truth. It is weak. It is distorted. We go in and we come out And as if nothing has happened, nothing has been taught that was of any profit to us. It's just going through the motions. But you know, you can go into a situation, you can come here or go elsewhere, you can hear sermons as well. You can listen to 3 sermons a day if you want. But if you are, do not have a teachable spirit, and it will not profit you. It will just go, as the saying is, in one ear and through another. Now, we must think carefully about these things, and I'll go through these things quickly. The first thing I want us to notice here is that to be healthy, to be spiritually growing as a people, we must be learning and being equipped. That's what the Word of God does, and that's what the local assembly of the saints must provide, must be encouraging. We must be learning. The word there is furnish in verse 17. That the man of God, what's the purpose of the word of God? What is the purpose of all this learning? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Furnished. What does that mean? A place is furnished. What does that mean? It means it is complete. It is to be complete and to be equipped. That's what it means. The Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, it equips us. It equips us for a number of things. It equips us in our faith. Is your faith weak today? You see that you are very weak in it. You are constantly worried about things. Why is that? You must be feeding upon the right things to encourage you in your faith, to focus your attention on things that you should be believing, you should be trusting in, and that's the Word of God, God's promises. One of the things that it equips us in faith is saving faith. Look at verse 17, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible shows us, and the kind of a teachable spirit, when it comes to us, it shows us that our condition and our condemnation, and it teaches us what's the way of salvation. What must we do to be saved? The Bible shows us of who, it shows us of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, who lives now forevermore, who gave His all that all of God's people might be saved. All who would trust in Him might be saved. And the Word of God is a book of redemption. From the beginning to the end, it speaks of the plan of salvation. And it's the same. You read the Old Testament and you read the New Testament. It's speaking the same things. They may be, the Old Testament is looking with types and shadows and so on. It sees some things, but still, it is true, it is right, and the fulfillments of it is seen in the New Testament. Martin Luther describes the Old and the New Testaments like they are like the two men who brought the grapes from Eshcol. You know, the two who were sent out, they came back from to spy out the land, and they brought these grapes and a cluster of grapes. And he says the Old Testament and New Testament, they're like that. Now, the Old Testament is that man in front, he says. And he's carrying the same thing. He's carrying the goods, the fruit. But it's behind him. He doesn't see everything. He knows he's carrying it and he's going to enjoy it. But the one behind is the New Testament. It sees both the man in front and also the fruit fully. And they're both carrying it out. I thought that was a good description of the Old and the New Testament. And it is that the Word of God shows us. As we read this, it saves souls. As it is preached, it brings salvation. I read a wonderful account of a Russian man, a man who worked in the theater. His name was Alexander Rostovzev, and he was converted while playing a very despicable act of the Lord Jesus Christ on the stage. And I won't mention the title of things, But he was supposed to read some verses from the Sermon on the Mount and then make fun of it. So he had the passage before him. He was supposed to carry a Bible on the stage and to read it, pretending to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he was on the stage, this happened a few decades ago, but it was reported then in the news in Moscow, he began to read the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then while those were the only two parts that he was to read. And then he began to tremble. Something was happening. And yet people thought to begin with that this is part of the act. But it wasn't. God spoke to him mightily while he was on the stage. And instead of following the script and shouting out his blasphemies and so on, he began to read through the passage. He carried on reading and carried on reading the whole passage. And as he read, he remembered in his mind how someone, when he was a little boy, said to him, of the passage that we read actually this morning, of the thief on the cross who looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he remembered that, and he was struck to the heart from the word of God. And everyone was coughing and tapping their foot and clapping and booing. And before the curtain came down, because they didn't know what was happening to him, he was already converted. The word of God penetrated deep within his soul, and the Lord Jesus Christ became precious to him. He stopped what he was doing. He realized that he was doing a wicked thing, and he left, but rejoicing. That's what the word of God does. That's what a teachable spirit, a spirit that the Lord has opened, a heart that the Lord has opened. Then God's word comes with power. That's why two people can hear the same message. One is truly changed and transformed and is made more hungry. But then another one is left and not changed at all. Another thing that we read in verse 15 of that passage in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, I should say. In 2 Timothy 2:15, there the apostle says to Timothy, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now this is a word, is an important word, study, he says. And this word has to do with working and being diligent and laboring. But because it is to do with the word of God, the translators have translated rightly so as study. You must give yourself to study. And you must rightly divide the word of truth. That is the word rightly dividing. It is to do with making a straight cut. Go through it. Cut it well. He says. Like a surgeon. You must divide things up properly. You must understand things properly. In other words, we will obtain a correct understanding of the word of God. And as we study it, as we pour over it, prayerfully, as we pour over it with a humble attitude that this is the word of God, we are putting ourselves under it. This is how we ought to be when we are hearing the word of God, that we are under it and we are going to be taught by it as a workman, that is a servant who will not be put to shame in the face of the enemy. And as we study the Bible, we will learn the wonderful works of God, the wonder of God, the wonderful work of God, the will of God, the ways of God. We'll receive a theological education that will enable us to serve the Lord without shame. That's what he's talking about. It's serving the Lord without being ashamed, not being confused, not knowing what to do in certain situations, because we have come to understand the will of God is here in my life is this. I must do this. I can't do otherwise because God's will is this. And you have that conviction in your soul That's a wonderful sight to see. A person who has convictions about things, whatever the storms of life brings, their mind is set and they're going in that course ahead. And this is it. So their faith is strengthened by the word of God. But something else as well, we are equipped in the fight. A fight that we need this armor on. And as the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 6, of this great armor of God that we must put on. And one said, well, it never tells you to take it off, but you must have it on all the time. And the apostle there mentions the only offensive weapon that he mentions there is what? It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And the word for sword comes from that word rima. It refers to this Roman short sword that was used like a dagger. And every Roman officer would have had one on him. And they carried it wherever they went and used it in many tasks, from preparing their food to hand-to-hand combat. And says, this is what we have. We have it on our armor. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul should use this word for the Bible. The word of God is this dagger that is used. It's always at hand. It's always to be used in every situation. It will not fail you. In some places, the word logos is used. The word logos refers to the whole word of God. What comes from God as a whole. It's the same word that is used in John chapter 1 and verse 1, where the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. The word rhema in Ephesians 6 is this specific word. And so you should think of these terminologies in this way. The Logos, or the whole Bible, brings to mind the idea of a complete armory. You go into an armory. It's different sections, different tools, different things to use, different equipments and devices. And in that armory, there are various weapons of every description. And when a battle arises, we should be able to walk into that armory and select the perfect rhema, the perfect dagger or weapon or sword that must be used in that battle, in that specific fight. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was being tempted. Of course, you know that in Matthew chapter 4, he was being tempted of the devil. And where did he go? He went in one part of the armory, which was from the book of Leviticus. And he used the weapons out of that. He's quoting out of Leviticus. Deuteronomy, I should say. Deuteronomy, he was quoting from that, and he kept saying, it is written, and then he would give a quote. He would use that dagger or sword from Deuteronomy. Of course, before you can do such a thing. If you do not if your mind is closed, if you say, no, I don't need to learn anything. I just need to believe, that's it. But what do you believe? I don't need education. I don't need doctrine, some people say. But what then will you use? What foundation do you have? I can just feed upon what I hear on each Lord's Day. Well, that is not going to feed you. We easily are distracted and we easily forget. We need this every day. So you must study the armor. You must familiarize yourself with this great book prayerfully. And so when temptations, when trials come, you can walk into this armory. You can find the perfect weapon for the day of your battle. You can find also the perfect remedy for what you need. You need this. And when you try to fight the battles of life and the enemy of life in your own strength, you will definitely fail. You will certainly feel your weakness. And that's why the apostle says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Be careful. If you think you can stand by yourself without the Lord and without this equipment that he gives, then without being equipped, you will fail. So learn the armory. We have the sword of the Spirit. It's not our sword. We have not made it. It is what Bunyan calls it, the Jerusalem sword. The second thing is this that I want us to consider, that we must be enabling in spiritual understanding and growth. This Word of God enables us in spiritual understanding. It makes us grow. And as you study, as you learn, when you have a teachable spirit, you spiritually understand, you are growing day by day. In verse 15 again, and that from a child. So this happens from a young age. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You're told here that the Scriptures, they have the power to make us wise. The word there, wise, it means to teach or to have understanding. We are not talking about getting a degree in theology or going to a Bible school or seminary of any kind. No, we need wisdom from the Word of God. You cannot get it other than spending time with this book and by God's Spirit's help. You can't without studying and meditating and studying literature and sermons that are opening this passage up to you. You can't just rely on yourself, but to also understand that God has given His light to others too, other servants who have in the past preached, and these have been published, and you can learn and study. The Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he asked for the parchments and the books, especially the books, he said. That's what he wanted, to learn more about the Word of God. And so we get the seed of the Word of God into our hearts. And as we get the seed of God's Word into our hearts, God will water it. God will cause it to bear fruit. Why is our life with little fruit? Are we getting the Word of God into it? Are we planting more seed into it? Are we planting the right kind of seed into it? Then it is, as you take it in, as you are teachable, then you will grow, abiding in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this in John 15, abiding in Christ. He spoke about prayer, through prayer. Here we have the word for study, through meditating, the waiting upon the Word of God the psalmist speaks about in Psalm 119. Then it is that you will find that fruit. That fruit will produce, will grow in your life, the spiritual fruit. And these things then are not forced. As you immerse yourself in the Word of God, you don't have to force the fruit. You don't have to try to make the fruit. You can't just make yourself into somebody else. No, in a miraculous way, something happens in you as the Spirit of God blesses you and the Word of God grows in you. Then you look back suddenly, 10 years down the line, and you look back and see how God has worked in various situations. And people view you and see that this man has been walking with Jesus Christ. You're furnished, it says. You will be truly furnished, completely furnished. How much time and effort do we put in? How much prayer do we put in with an open Bible? How George Whitefield had an open Bible before him as he prayed. And he prayed through his Bible. The psalmist says this in Psalm 1 and verse 2 about the blessed man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what he does. And God blesses him. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? This is what the Lord is saying to us. In Psalm 119, verse 148, we read, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Listening to some people, it is very easy to see that they do not know very much about the Bible. They make all kinds of statements that is not found in the Word of God. And then they are stumbling from this to that. And you think, these are basic things. And this person says they are a Christian. These are basic issues. And why don't they have discernment about the matter? It's because they are not reading the Word of God. It's because they are not listening to the Word of God. They are not putting themselves under the preaching, the right kind of preaching of the Word of God. And so no wonder the person is weak. And we might say, well, we don't have time, we don't have the abilities. I read an encouraging account, a true story of a man, an evangelist who wrote about this. His name was Robert Sumner, in a book called The Wonders of the Word of God. And in it, he knew a man who had an accident. He was severely injured in an explosion at work. He worked in a factory, and there was an explosion on site, and he was very badly injured. His face was very badly disfigured, and he lost his sight. He lost much of his feeling. He could not raise his hands. He could not feel anything. He could not move his fingers, and so on. And yet he was a believer. All he wanted to do, one more time to hear, because he couldn't hear either. One more time to hear the Word of God. One more time to be able to see the Word of God. What would you do in that situation? You would say, well, I have lost anything I could use. But then this man remembered that he had heard about someone who, in England, a lady who had been reading through Braille, a Braille Bible, with her lips, just touching the words on the paper. And this woman had been reading her Bible. And so he thought, I could do that. And so he somehow communicated to people. He wanted a Braille Bible. And the day came that they brought this Braille Bible to him. And he put it to his lips. But then he realized he had no feelings. He couldn't feel the words. It was not large enough. It was not in a way that he could feel it. It was too light to touch. And then he was disappointed. And as he was trying, by accident, he had opened his mouth and his tongue touched the words. And then he could feel it. So from then on, he read the Bible with his tongue. Imagine that. Have you ever heard of anyone like that? But this evangelist who wrote this book said, to this day, to the day that he had written that book, he said this man had read through his Bible 4 times just with his tongue. Imagine that. Your eyes become tired when you read the Bible. What would have happened to his tongue when he was reading his Bible? But this is the desire that God had put in his heart. He wanted to learn more about the Lord. He wanted to feed his own soul. He couldn't hear it. He couldn't see it. But he could, in a sense, taste it. Touch it with his tongue. We are blessed, aren't we? We have all of our senses. I trust most of us. We have a mind to think and meditate. We can call upon God. Well, may the Lord help us in these things. These things, the Word of God enables us to grow spiritually. It says in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Is that us? So we need the Word of God. We need an atmosphere of learning and education and growing in this understanding, knowing Jesus Christ more, knowing His Word more, knowing His will more for our lives, being equipped by the Word of God, and being enabled to have a spiritual understanding, to be growing. But then finally, this to receive the sound doctrine that affects our heads, our hearts, our hands. We are enlightened by God's Word. As if the Word of God comes as a coach to us and trains us. It says there the word doctrine. The Scripture teaches us doctrine. The ministry, sound ministry of the Word of God is teaching doctrine. That's truths that teaches us, instructs us. It refers to the body of truth that we believe and practice as part of the Christian faith. Everything that we know, you see, about God and believe as Christians has been taught to us by the Word of God. And so the Christian is a student. That's part of the being a Christian. You can't say, I am not a learner, but I'm a Christian. You must learn. You must be, the truth of the Word of God must have been revealed to you. Your eyes now see more than just the words. They mean something to you. You've come to trust them. You've trusted your soul upon these doctrines about Jesus Christ and His cross. And so the Word of God, as you are in this atmosphere of learning, as you come and hear the Word of God, as you pick up other books and from the library and elsewhere, and you're reading more about what the Scripture teaches, all of these things are coaching you, training you, teaching you the fundamentals of the faith. They are instructing you into the deep things of God. Friends, by the way, let me say to you this, that don't base your doctrine on feelings. Don't base your doctrine and the things that you believe in because merely of experience. Or don't base your doctrine and what you believe in on people that you might admire. Oh, well, they believe that, so it must be right. I remember a man coming into my study, and he was arguing with me about a case of doctrine, and he pointed to all of these people. He said, look at all these books you have. Look at them. They all believed what I believe. And if you are truly to be reformed, you should believe that too. And I said, but what does the Scripture say? That is the thing. That's the litmus test. What does the Scripture say? And this is the matter, this issue of feelings and waiting on experiences. That's a folly of the charismatic movement and any other kind of movement that bases itself on how the person feels. Does it make them happy? Does it make them feel fuzzy inside? And do they get tingles when they hear these things? That's not the way you should base your views and your... And the things that you believe, which are all matter of life and death, spiritually speaking. There are people who say, I don't care what the Bible says, but I have this experience. I don't care what the Bible says, but I have these feelings, a man would say about another man in our day. Oh, I have these feelings that a girl would say that I feel like a boy. That's my feeling. And so they try to make the Bible to fit in. And sadly, there are Christians. Just in the past week, the Church of Scotland has put one of their ministers under discipline. Why? Because he has been tweeting about the fact that the Bible teaches that marriage is between one man and woman. They're putting on discipline. But more than that, the discipline came because he said something that was deemed to be a mockery of the Labour Party and especially Jeremy Corbyn. And I'm not being political here, but I'm just thinking, how can a denomination whose forefathers were people like John Knox and so many godly people, now they would not put people under discipline who are living, ministers who are living with other men and living in all kinds of sinful lifestyles, They won't deal with those things. But a man who is trying to be faithful to the Word of God, they find fault with him. And they put him under discipline and they've dismissed him. There's a case against him right now. This is where we are today. We are like the man that I read some time ago of a man who had taken a picture of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. But every morning when he came to his office, he saw this frame that he'd put on his wall, always tipped. And so then he would straighten it out, and then he would come the next day, and then it was tipped again. And the Tower of Pisa was straight every day. So he would then change it, and he got quite upset about this. He thought, who was doing this? So he asked the caretaker, and she said, oh yes, that's me. It's not right for a tower to be wonky like that, at an angle like that. So I just change it, fix it, because I don't like it like that. See, many people deal with that, with the Word of God like that. Oh no, it's not like this. So they turn it to fit into the angle at which it suits them. And they would ignore other things. Let us not be like that. That's not a teachable spirit. We must come to it and let it speak to us, not us coming with some ideas and then going to it. So every book that you might read that is helpful to you, always make sure it is rightly understood from the Word of God. You test it. You see, is it being consistent? Even people like Calvin, I have his institute and I've had to put various crosses and said, this is not right. This is not wrong teaching here. So all of us must have that Berean spirit. The Berean spirit is a learning spirit. A Berean spirit is actually a humble spirit. We are not being independent thinkers. We are submitting our thought to the Word of God. That's what it is. Are we like that? Are we learning to be like that? These are the things we ought to be doing. And here it says that the Word of God does this. As we are learning, we are reproved. We are reproved. That's what it does. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's what it does first with me. As I begin to study it, as I'm immersing myself in it, it reproves me. It means to be convicted. It brings conviction to my heart. It has the idea of putting something to the test. The Word of God will put your life to the test. It is like the set of scales or balances. It will show you where you fall short. It is like the plumb line. It will show you where you do not line up with the Word of God. Scripture, as you have this spiritual attitude and teachable attitude, it will come to test you and you will take it. It's like this mirror and you see your face in it and then you say, no, I'm not going to go out like this. I will fix myself. It's the word then for reproof. It comes from the same word that is translated evidence in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. When here the apostle says, so that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and so on. Reproof here. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it speaks about the evidence. Evidence of things not seen. It is the convincing evidence. In the modern kind of language, we would call it the smoking gun. Sometimes the Word of God is laid alongside our lives and serves as the Lord's Exhibit A. He shows us from the Word that He is showing us this. This is the evidence how we are living. He says, this is the picture of your life here. This is the evidence of your life here, according to my word. And the best thing to do in that situation is to bow before Him and to deal with everything that He shows us about ourselves. That's the quickest way to get right with God, to humble ourselves, repent when He shows us, and turn and do those things that the Lord has called us to. And so we as we are teachable, as we are learning, our minds are enlightened. We are then corrected. It says it's for correction. It means to restore to an upright or correct state. The Bible doesn't just show us what is wrong in our lives. It also teaches us how to fix what is wrong. It teaches us about the matter of repentance and confession of sin. It repeats that and it says there is a way back to God. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is His blood available to cleanse us from all sin. And then it is that we are set on the right path quickly. It enlightens us as we have teachable spirit, as we are learning. It commands us. It instructs us, it says. It's for instruction in righteousness. And so on. It cultivates the soul. So here are these things. Are we then students of the Word of God? Or are we shunning the Scriptures? Are we shunning prayer over the Scriptures? Are we thinking that what I will do, I have learned enough things? No, we must pursue. We are walking steadily behind the Lord Jesus Christ. We are listening to His voice. We are being learning of Him, He says in His Word, come unto me and learn of me. And so we are always His disciples. And then as disciples, we encourage other disciples, others, and we make disciples, the Scripture says. We speak to them, we preach to them the gospel, we hand out literature to them. And as they come to trust in the Lord, we are teaching them, we are bringing them to the places, we hand them, put a book into their hand and feed them the right kind of things. Let us be encouraging ourselves in these things then, friends. It is in that kind of an atmosphere of being a education center, that the education is not an academic one. But it is the feeding of the mind which then feeds the heart and causes us to spiritually grow. And even in heaven, this is what happens. We're continuing on to learn of Him, because He will feed us, the scripture says. In what way does the Lord Jesus Christ feed us? The Lamb who will feed us and lead us. He feeds us by His truth. It's the truth of God's word that feeds. Well, may the Lord then help us in these things. May we be of that attitude that says, I must have the word of God. In whatever way, I will delight in it and cherish it. Amen.